Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Joe Biden heads to Washington ahead of Inauguration Day.
The president-elect's pick for Treasury Secretary heads to Capitol Hill.
U.S. coronavirus deaths approach 400,000.
And Goldman Sachs and Bank of America report earnings this morning.
New York Governor Cuomo asks Pfizer to sell COVID vaccines directly to the state. Plus, a new poll shows historically low numbers for President Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Good holiday results for local teams. The Knicks won, so did the Nets, Islanders, and St. John's.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by SEI. Crises bring out the best in people. Character, community, partnership, together as one. SEI, go to SEIC.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are higher to start the week. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 27 points. Dow futures up 174, and NASDAQ futures up 126. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. CAC in Paris up 0.1%. FTSE 100 up 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.4%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 2.7%. 10-year Treasury down 7.30. Seconds yield 1.10%, yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 23 cents at $52.59 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $11.90 at $18.41.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2121 against the dollar, the yen 104.02. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in the nation's capital where President-elect Joe Biden arrives today to prepare for the inauguration. But this time, the traditional celebration has been replaced by a military lockdown. Amy Morris brings us the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
About 25,000 National Guard soldiers are deployed across D.C. Tall fencing surrounds the U.S. Capitol building in the White House, and there are security checkpoints throughout the area. President Trump will not attend tomorrow's ceremony, a first since 1869. And within his first week in office, Biden is expected to ask Congress to pass a $1.9 trillion stimulus and issue executive orders to both reverse Trump policies and advance his own. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. And as he prepares to take office, President-elect Biden is rejecting a move by President Trump to rescind travel bans on non-Americans arriving from the EU, UK, and Brazil. The bans are aimed at preventing the spread of COVID-19. President Trump says they can be eased safely, but Biden officials say they plan to strengthen public health measures around international travel.
Meantime, we're learning more about plans for President Trump's final hours in office before he leaves D.C. tomorrow. Here with details is Bloomberg's Karen Chase.
The president leaves the White House with Americans more unemployed and politically divided than when he arrived. His final day tomorrow will begin with a small send-off at the White House, where a limited group of aides will watch the liftoff of the presidential helicopter. Then he attends a farewell ceremony at Joint Base Andrews before boarding Air Force One for the final trip to Florida. Moving trucks have already been spotted outside his Mar-a-Lago resort, where neighbors have been fighting to prevent him from living permanently. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Karen, thank you. President Trump is expected to announce a list of pardons today, though sources tell us that White House officials do not expect President Trump to pardon his family, close aides, or himself. Bloomberg White House correspondent Josh Wingrove explains why.
No U.S. president has tried to do it, and it's a legal dispute about whether they even can do it. But Trump, in doing so, number one, might invite a challenge. It might test the theory of whether he can do it. And the other one is it would be kind of admitting that he has someone to pardon. It would be admitting that he's at risk. And Trump is not a guy that likes to do that.
And sources tell us White House counsel Pat Cipollone has resisted pardons for the president or his family and is looking to narrow grants of clemency issued by the president as he leaves office.
On Capitol Hill today, the confirmation hearing for President-elect Biden's choice for Treasury Secretary begins this morning. Janet Yellen appears before the Senate Finance Committee at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. And here with more is Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Yellen will likely face questions on an array of topics, from foreign exchange policy to taxes. This is the first congressional forum where lawmakers can vet President-elect Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan. Yellen's prepared remarks suggest she'll say, given low borrowing cost, it's time to act big. Yellen will tell the virtual hearing the U.S. economy has been suffering from entrenched inequality, and the administration's longer-term goal will be to create more prosperity for more people. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. As Yellen addresses the economic fallout from the pandemic, the death toll is on the cusp of a grim milestone. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John.
And Karen, U.S. coronavirus deaths are likely to pass 400,000 today. Still, there are signs that daily cases in the U.S. are coming off their highs. And with the start of the global vaccination campaign, countries have experienced unequal access. That has the World Health Organization warning the virus will breed more dangerous variants. Meantime, trials to make sure vaccines are safe for the young are beginning. The University of Oxford is planning initial tests in 12 to 18-year-olds next month. Pfizer and Moderna started recruiting participants at the end of last year, but finding volunteers hasn't been easy. So far, the U.S. has administered more than 14.7 million vaccine doses. You can get the latest on our effort from Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, John. Turning to corporate news now, earnings from big banks continue on Wall Street today. And here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Bank of America and Goldman Sachs will have their results before the market opens this morning. Trading is expected to be a bright spot for Bank of America, with revenue up 15%. Earnings are expected to fall 26% versus a year earlier. Goldman Sachs business indicators may show revenue momentum heading into 2021, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. Total revenue is expected to fall just 1% from last year, as earnings rise 47%. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And turning to the markets now, we're seeing a slight lift for oil. That's despite the International Energy Agency lowering forecasts for global demand. It says renewed lockdowns to contain the pandemic are tempering the economic recovery, and NYMEX crude oil at $52.58 a barrel. This is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 now on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in New York and around the world with Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he asked Pfizer if the state could buy vaccines directly from the company because the U.S. government has failed to increase supply. Cuomo says he wrote a letter to Pfizer's CEO saying the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention expanded eligibility to more than 7 million New Yorkers from 5 million practically overnight. At the same time, the CDC hasn't increased and in some cases reduced the supply to states. Cuomo says, though, it has vaccinated its most vulnerable elderly citizens.
100% of the nursing home facilities have had their day one first vaccination.
New York will get 250,000 doses this week, 50,000 fewer than last week. Violent protests outside of New York City Hall led to dozens of arrests. Black Lives Matter protesters also demonstrated on the Brooklyn Bridge last night. Police say several officers suffered non-life-threatening injuries. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio unveiled the New York City Discipline Matrix, which carefully spells out a no-exceptions table of disciplinary action for police and other city employees found to be committing actions of racial bias.
Anyone who wears a uniform and does the wrong thing needs to understand the consequences will be real and swift.
Mayor de Blasio says this overdue action sends a clear, direct message, including termination. De Blasio made his comments at a Martin Luther King event run by Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. President Trump's approval rating has dropped to 34% in the Gallup poll. The latest numbers are based on a poll before the January 6th assault on the Capitol. It shows his approval rating fell 12 percentage points since before the November 3rd election. First Lady Melania Trump has released a farewell address to the nation where she mentions what she says she accomplished in 4 years.
Be Best have evolved into a platform that encourages world leaders to discuss issues impacting the lives of children.
Last week, the First Lady condemned the Capitol violence but did not mention who incited it. FBI authorities have arrested a woman in connection with the U.S. Capitol riot after an accusation from a former romantic partner that she took a laptop from the office of House Speaker Pelosi. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashire.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Nets and Bucks could well be the top two teams in the East. Milwaukee, best record in the NBA over the last two seasons. The Nets, of course, just added James Harden to join Kevin Durant. Two teams played a tight game last night in Brooklyn. It went down to the wire.
Bucks by one, 47 seconds to go. Durant with it up top. Moves it left, cut off, back of the wing. Harden's got it. Three on the way. No good, too strong. Harden is over rebound. Out to Durant. Open three. Gone! OKD! On the offensive rebound by the Beard. And the Nets take a two-point lead with 34 seconds to go.
And they won 125-123. Chris Carino called it. WFAN, that's the Nets' fourth straight win. The last two with Harden. He had 32 points and a triple-double in his debut. And then last night, 34 points, 12 assists. Earlier in the day, Knicks beat Orlando at the Garden, 91-84. Julius Randle, 21 points, 17 rebounds. RJ Barrett scored 22. Knicks now leave for a four-game road trip starting Thursday at Golden State. The Warriors last night came from way back and upset the Lakers in L.A. Islanders and Bruins, a holiday matinee that was scoreless until just over 4 minutes left. J.G. Pageau scored. The Isles won 1-0. St. John's, a 74-70 win at UConn, who came in 7-1, but was without its best player. Freshman Posh Alexander led the Reds storm with 18. The Mets last month hired Jared Porter to be their general manager. ESPN last night with an explosive report that Porter, in 2016 when he worked for the Cubs, sent a female reporter more than 60 explicit and unsolicited texts. Mets president Sandy Alderson said Porter has admitted to it and apologized, and the team will follow up after reviewing the case. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, the first woman to score in a Power 5 conference college football game has been invited to President-elect Biden's inauguration. Sarah Fuller is the Vanderbilt kicker who helped win the Southeastern Conference Women's Soccer Tournament as goalkeeper and helped out the football team while it was dealing with COVID issues. Right now, S&P futures are up 26 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mix of sun and clouds, low 40s today, upper 20s tonight. Chance for a morning slow flurry tomorrow, breezy and cooler, upper 30s. It'll be partly sunny, high near 40 on Thursday. 36 and mostly cloudy right now.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global markets climbing ahead of a speech by Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen, in which she's expected to call for expansive government action to bolster the U.S. economy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 25 points. Dow futures up 158. NASDAQ futures up 123. The DAX in Germany's up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds. Yield 1.10%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% or 13 cents at $52.49 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $12.20 at $18.42.10 an ounce. The euro 1.2126 against the dollar. British pound 1.3617. The yen 104.01. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President-elect Joe Biden will arrive in Washington today ahead of tomorrow's inauguration. Tonight, he will hold a somber event. President-elect Biden will honor those who have died from COVID-19. Cities around the country will take part with candles and ringing church bells. President-elect Biden's incoming administration rejected a move by President Trump to rescind coronavirus-related travel bans for non-American citizens arriving from the European Union, the UK, and Brazil. It means the curbs will stay in effect. Today could be the biggest Trump administration pardon and clemency day. The list is expected to include rapper Lil Wayne and former New York Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, who was convicted of corruption and is now serving prison time. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, and Warriors all won. In the NHL, the Islanders shut out the Bruins 1-0. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on the morning before an inauguration, the likes of which few of us have seen. For more, we're joined by Julie Norman, lecturer in politics and international relations at University College London. London. Professor, it's good to speak with you this morning. I'm based in the nation's capital, and the level of security that is in place around Washington, D.C. is at a level that we use the word unprecedented a lot these days, but I think it certainly fits this time around. What kind of message does that send as the nation prepares for what traditionally has been a peaceful transfer of power?
Well, Nathan, it is definitely unprecedented, as you said, and it is a significant message that this inauguration is going to simply be different than ones we've had in the past. That was going to be the case regardless because of the coronavirus. Even before the events of January 6th, Biden had asked people to just stay home, watch from home, not to come to the National Mall like they usually do. But of course, after the events from 2 weeks ago, we have seen very heightened security in Washington, D.C., upwards of about 25,000 National Guard members being called in to support the D.C. Metropolitan Police and also the Secret Service, a number of roadblocks, the whole area, not only around the Capitol, but really around the whole central D.C. Core essentially blocked off to the public. So this is very different optics for sure, but at the end of the day, Biden is going to be inaugurated. All these steps we just see as necessary right now, given the current context, but the process will still move forward, and that's what matters most for Biden and for the country right now.
There are so many challenges this incoming president is facing. He already campaigned on trying to heal the divisions in the country, and now they seem like they've really been intensified over the last couple of days, particularly around the events surrounding the U.S. Capitol. What is the challenge for President-elect Biden as he prepares to steer the country forward?
Well, Nathan, you said it. Biden was already entering in this period of multiple crises with the pandemic, with the economy, and then already with very high polarization in the United States, even before January 6th, and then it seems now at such a low. Biden did campaign on this messaging of healing, of trying to bring the country together. That was always going to be an uphill battle for him, and it will probably be even that much tougher now. With that said, Biden is probably one of the better positioned politicians to be taking over the office of president right now. He has a long history in Washington of walking across the aisle. He has a number of bipartisan relationships, and at least relatively, he's coming forward as a pragmatic moderate, is really, I think, trying to send the right messages of empathy, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be a long process, and quite frankly, it's going to be bigger than Biden. This isn't something that one person or one president is going to be able to fix.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit deeper. Is the kind of model that President-elect Biden represents as sort of this old school moderate who has a history of working across the aisle, does that fit in this current era of extreme polarization?
Well, it's certainly going to be tough. It worked enough for Biden in the election. As we saw, he was able to draw from his more working class roots, his time in Northeast, riding Amtrak every day to D.C., and really just speaking to a much with much more of a sense of empathy and trying to meet Americans where they are. So I do think his tone is on message for this time. But it's exactly right that the rift that the country is dealing with right now, this goes beyond just political polarization or difference on issues. These are really, social, cultural divides that have been stoked by different sectors and by, different sources across the country, and again, more than just the president. These trends started before Trump, so will probably continue after Biden. But I think the difference is that Biden will at least be trying to address those rather than to stoke and exploit those, as we saw under Trump.
Only 30 seconds left here. What is job one for President-elect Biden?
Well, first and foremost, he's going to be focusing on the coronavirus, on this vaccine rollout. We've already seen him introduce this $1.9 trillion corona relief package. They probably won't. They know they won't get that, but they're going to try and get some kind of relief package through, and really just trying to get the virus under control, get the vaccinations moving, and try and jumpstart the economy.
Thank you, as always, for being with us. Great to get your insights. Julie Norman, lecturer in politics and international relations at University College London. Ahead of Inauguration Day, 12 p.m. tomorrow, Wall Street time, President-elect Biden will take the oath of office and become the 46th president of the United States. Right now, S&P futures up 24 points, Dow futures up 153, NASDAQ futures up 120. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher a day before Joe Biden takes office as the 46th president of the United States. The president-elect arrives in Washington later today amid heavy security and a military lockdown. We get more from Bloomberg's Derek Wahlbeck.
You are seeing a security posture in the nation's capital that I have never seen before. It's going to be very quiet this year. It was going to be quiet before COVID, but now you've got barricades up creating what is effectively a green zone.
Outgoing President Trump has no plans to invite the Bidens to the White House before tomorrow's inauguration.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg News has learned White House officials do not expect the president to pardon himself. We get more from White House correspondent Josh Wingrove.
Going to have some legal headaches going forward, but it doesn't look like he will do pardon for himself or his family. Instead, we do expect a big chunk of pardons to come out, including, you know, celebrities, that sort of thing.
President Trump has already issued pardons to several political allies and friends in the weeks since he lost re-election.
On Capitol Hill, Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen is expected to call for expansive government action to bolster the U.S. economy. The former Fed chair begins her Senate confirmation hearing today.
And as Yellen addresses the economic fallout from the pandemic, the death toll is on the cusp of a grim milestone. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that. John?
And Nathan, the country is on track to surpass 400,000 coronavirus deaths as soon as today. Still, there are signs that daily cases in the U.S. are coming off their highs. And trials to make sure vaccines are safe for the young, they're beginning. The University of Oxford is planning initial tests in 12 to 18-year-olds next month. Pfizer and Moderna started recruiting participants at the end of last year, but finding volunteers hasn't been easy. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And on Wall Street today, big bank earnings continue. Coming up, we get results from Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, and we hear from Netflix this afternoon. Again, futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up 25 points, Dow futures up 159, NASDAQ futures up 121, and the DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, the yield 1.10%, the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 10 cents at $52.46 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $12.30 at $18.42.20 an ounce. The euro 1.2125 against the dollar. British pound 1.3620. And the yen is at 104 and checking Bitcoin $37,131. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he asked Pfizer if the state could buy vaccines directly from the company because the U.S. government has failed to increase supply. Cuomo says he wrote a letter to Pfizer's CEO saying the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention expanded eligibility to more than 7 million New Yorkers from 5 million practically overnight. At the same time, the CDC has an increased and in some cases reduced the supply to states. Cuomo once again called out the feds for not stopping flights from the countries where new COVID strains have emerged. He says any of the new strains could touch off a surge that could even surpass the nation's first wave.
There's now a Brazilian strain, which may actually be worse than the South African strain or the UK strain. any of these three strains could be a second wave.
New York will get 250,000 doses this week, 50,000 fewer than last week. Violent protests outside of New York City Hall led to dozens of arrests last night. Black Lives Matter protesters also demonstrated on the Brooklyn Bridge. Police say several officers suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Senator Chuck Schumer, who will soon become majority leader, says those involved in the Capitol siege 2 weeks ago will face the consequences, and says President Trump will also face consequences for inciting the riot.
They will not succeed. The sun is shining, and it's going to continue to shine, and they and Donald Trump will be brought to justice.
Schumer made the comments at an event hosted by the National Action Network. Melania Trump has released a farewell video on her Twitter feed. The First Lady discussed how she became inspired to begin her Be Best initiative.
When I came to the White House, I reflected on the responsibility I have always felt as a mother to encourage, give strength, and teach values of kindness.
President Trump's approval rating has dropped to 34% in a Gallup poll, the low point of a presidency that already had the weakest average approval rating of any of his predecessors since the survey began in the 1940s. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Thanks, Nathan. Knicks, Nets, Islanders all at home, all with victories. Knicks coming off that stunning 30-point win in Boston, made it two straight since the five-game losing streak. 91-84 over Orlando. R.J. Barrett, 22 points. Julius Randle at 21. Good one in Brooklyn last night. The Nets won their fourth in a row. 125-123 over Milwaukee. James Harden fitting in nicely with his new team. He had 32 points and a triple-double in his Nets debut, and then last night scored 34. Kevin Durant had 30 and the go-ahead three-pointer. Seventh straight game that Kyrie Irving has missed. The Philly is he might play tomorrow in Cleveland. Islanders and Bruins were scoreless until a J.G. Pageau goal with just over 4 minutes left. The Isles won 1-0. St. John's beat 23rd-ranked UConn 74-70. Baylor, ranked second, is now 13-0 after a win over Kansas. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields made it official. He's leaving school, heading for the NFL. Could the Jets be interested in Fields? They have the second overall pick. The NFL announced the scouting combine that's been held in Indianapolis every year since 1987 will not take place this year due to COVID. Longtime Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels believed to be a strong candidate, if not the favorite, to become the new head coach in Philadelphia. The big question this week will be whether Patrick Mahomes can play for Kansas City in Sunday's AFC Championship game. Will it be Mahomes facing Buffalo or backup quarterback Chad Heady? Mahomes is in concussion protocol. It's not known if he actually suffered one the other day. There's a five-step process ending with being cleared for contact by an independent doctor. Notice that timetable, but usually lasts about a week. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
As New York City staggers through January, the cost of the pandemic, both in lives and livelihoods, just keeps rising. Unemployment in the Bronx is hovering around 16%. The number of visitors is expected to reach just over half its pre-pandemic heights. And a third of the city's neighborhood businesses might not make it until vaccines become widely available. An analysis of the nation's property taxes confirms New Jersey has again secured the title of worst property tax state. A Go Banking Rate survey of Tax Foundation data shows the Garden State's current average annual property tax burden is about $8,300. Well, Connecticut has erased its $800 million budget gap for the current fiscal year. Revenue from capital gains and business taxes has exceeded projections. The state projects collecting about $980 million more in revenue compared with last month's estimate. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Ethanol giant Green Plains is betting on agricultural technology for its future.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're looking at some big bank earnings reports, including from Wall Street giant Goldman Sachs.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson facing a Tory rebellion over plans to get UK courts to label China as a state practicing genocide.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting European car sales plunged the most ever last year.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Later today, we get earnings from Netflix. The streaming service is out with results after the close of U.S. trading. And here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The big question heading into the report is just how many new subscribers was Netflix able to add in the fourth quarter? Bloomberg Intelligence says the streaming service is poised to report a strong 2020 finish as seasonal strength, extended shutdowns, and a stream of hits may help it easily beat estimates of 6 million new users and achieve the 200 million member milestone. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. America's housing market is the focus of this week's U.S. economic agenda. The Commerce Department will report on December housing starts and building permits, while the National Association of Realtors issues data on existing home sales. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The property market had a banner year even with the pandemic. Record low mortgage rates provided a boost for those who had the money, putting a squeeze on a number of properties on the market. But there's also been plenty of pain with rising evictions and foreclosures after the economic collapse in March and April. Weekly jobless claims, for example, are again running close to the 1 million mark as coronavirus flare-ups disrupt commerce. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Finally, Tesla has begun delivering the first Model Y SUVs built in China, the second locally built electric vehicle Tesla sold in the country. Last year, the Tesla Model 3 was China's most popular electric car. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global markets are climbing ahead of a speech by Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 27 points, Dow futures up 175, and NASDAQ futures up 127. The DAX in Germany is up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.11%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up third of a percent, or 19 cents, at $52.55 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7%, or $13.30, at $18.43.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.2130 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3619. And the yen at 104. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, White House officials don't expect President Donald Trump to pardon himself, family members, or close aides, according to people familiar with the matter. President Trump is expected to announce a list of pardons on his final full day in office. Meanwhile, President-elect Biden will arrive in Washington today on the eve of his inauguration. Tonight, Biden will hold a somber event. He will honor those who have died from COVID-19. The president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, says he will not take part in the impeachment trial after all. Giuliani, who at first said he was taking part in the trial, told ABC he's a potential witness. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, and Warriors all won. In the NHL, the Islanders shut out the Bruins 1-0. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 5:48 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As bank earnings continue later this morning, of course, we've heard from J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo. Later this morning, we hear from Bank of America and Goldman Sachs. So let's get a preview where things stand with Bloomberg Radio and Television finance correspondent Shanali Basak. Great to talk with you again, Shanali. And I guess if there was any theme that we gleaned from the first three banks reporting on Friday, it's to temper expectations as far as the economic outlook. So what indications are we getting from B of A and Goldman heading in?
Well, we don't know yet, right? And that's
great question here, tempering expectations. We saw J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup really cut their reserves for loan losses by more than $5 billion. So that's a good sign. But we've also heard J.P. Morgan say, we really don't know what the rest of the year is going to look like. It looks like it's getting better, but there are still some concerns on the horizon.
Right. Now, for Bank of America, obviously, at least from Deutsche Bank's perspective, the analysts there say net interest income is going to be a big deal. Of course, they've got a lot of rate exposure at B of A.
That's for sure. And they've also said that they expect the outlook to get better from where they were in the middle to late last year, where, you know, they've been pressured on net interest margin for years now. So the question is, Bank of America has been moving to more fee-based businesses. Can they really weather the storm here? Can they really get some relief here as we're seeing the yield curve steepen? But I have to say, so far, the outlook has been pretty sluggish among the other three banks. So we would expect the same from Bank of America.
And when it comes to Goldman Sachs, a lot of their business is in wealth management, investment banking. What are the indications there?
Yeah, so as we know, this whole year, the Wall Street businesses have done so much better than those consumer businesses that have faced those loan losses. So what we want to see today from Goldman Sachs is really just more outperformance. Their last quarter was a standout. Can they keep up that performance?
And what about costs? That's been a lot of the discussion, particularly for Goldman Sachs, I think it's safe to say, going in. What are they sort of indicating here?
Yeah, absolutely. Goldman and Morgan Stanley tend to have higher efficiency ratios. But, you know, so do the consumer banks. So I think cost cutting is going to be a story across all of Wall Street. Remember, Bank of America in particular is one of the firms that said they wouldn't cut headcount in 2020, in the pandemic year. So what does 2021 look like then? Goldman, we know, has been trimming at the margins. We know they've been looking to lower cost locations. And really, it's just an update if they're on track to cut costs quicker, because they had promised investors last year at their investor day that they would do so.
And what should we expect when it comes to share buybacks for either of these banks?
Yes. So the three banks that have already reported said that they would return to share buybacks. For J.P. Morgan, that's to the tune of $4.5 billion. The thing is, there's an expectation that a lot of these buybacks are really priced into the stocks this year. That's why on Friday you saw all the major banks still decline, even though we did see those buybacks come back. But we would expect Bank of America and Goldman Sachs to give more color on how much they're willing to buy.
And, of course, as you mentioned, trading revenue, the equity side, has been such an outperformer for all the Wall Street banks so far. Could that be something, particularly for Bank of America, when they report in just about an hour here, that might offset some of the drama, perhaps, that we might see from some of the more rate-sensitive sides of Bank of America's portfolio?
We would hope so. But, you know, there's drama on the trading side, too. There's been a lot of changes at the top for their sales and trading division. But on their investment banking side, we may see it in the numbers. As far as performance goes, they really gained a lot of share in investment banking, in advising on mergers and acquisitions and on IPOs globally. So let's see how that translates into profit.
In our last 30 seconds here, would you expect Treasury Secretary-designate Yellen's comments to be a mover for bank stocks at all?
I think there's a lot of things that are already expected in the tone she's going to take. I think another interesting thing over the weekend was a lot of news about the other Biden regulators and how hard they may be on Wall Street. So I assume that I'll get some questions about that today at both Goldman Sachs and Bank of America.
And as we say, we're expecting those results from B of A in just about an hour here, followed by Goldman Sachs right around 7:30. Bloomberg Radio and Television Finance Correspondent Shanali Bosick, thanks for the preview on another busy day for you. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg reports the incoming Biden administration will install at least 20 Democrats in temporary Labor Department roles after the transfer of power. The political appointees will work on altering Trump administration policies. The Federal Communications Commission is warning amateur radio and personal radio licensees not to use radios for criminal acts in connection with the inauguration. proposed Health and Human Services rule would boost protections for newborns with disabilities.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching includes President Trump facing an impeachment trial after he leaves office. This situation presents a novel legal question that President Trump could use in his defense. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Frank Bowman, a professor at the University of Missouri Law School.
Of course, there's never been a situation like this before, but are there other cases in our history that would support the Senate's power to put Trump on trial even after his term ends?
Yes, there have been precedent for this. Indeed, the very first impeachment that ever happened, very early on, 1797, Senator William Blunt was a Tennessee senator and land speculator who engaged in the scheme essentially to transfer parts of then Spanish Florida and the Louisiana Territory to the British. Word got out about that, and when it got back to Washington, the House immediately impeached him, and shortly thereafter, the Senate expelled him. But then, of course, there was a matter of impeachment, and they went on to try him later on. Now, he was acquitted in the so we have a precise example of exactly this timing, and we have a somewhat even more pronounced one in the impeachment of Secretary of War Belknap during the Grant administration in the 1870s, where Belknap, the Secretary of War, was corrupt, and he sold an Indian agent position for money. Was found out and was clear that he was about to be impeached. He went over to the White House and immediately resigned in the hope of forestalling impeachment, but the House impeached him anyway. Went over to trial in the Senate, and although, again, he managed to escape conviction, the Senate explicitly considered the question of whether or not it retained jurisdiction over him for trial, and it voted, you know, by a material majority that it did have jurisdiction over him, even though it impeached him after he left office entirely.
There are some scholars who argue that the Senate can't try Trump after he leaves office. So this might be left up to the Supreme Court. But would the court even consider this?
If he were to be tried and convicted, my guess is that he would try to bring that up to a court and try to claim that the Constitution doesn't permit such trial. And the courts might or might not even entertain the question. They might simply decide that it's non-justiciable, as we say. Or that even if they consider it in the first instance, that it's really a separation of powers kind of question, a political question, and that particularly since the Constitution so very plainly places the impeachment remedy in the purview of Congress, that they're going to give immense deference to the Senate's interpretation of its part of the impeachment role. So, yeah, it's possible the courts could get into this. One doesn't like to predict that kind of thing. My bet, if I had to bet, would be that such a challenge would be unsuccessful.
And that's Frank Bowman, a professor at the University of Missouri Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 26 points. Dow futures up 175. NASDAQ futures up 125. And the 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.11%. Top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues.